The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the fifth day of May, 2021, a cool, crisp Texas spring morning. Hope everybody's good. Looks like a beautiful day that lies ahead, and it looks like a pretty compelling day around here. Shall I start early? Shall I just jump right in? Okay, Derek Chauvin should be released from prison today. Derek Chauvin should be released from prison today. Is it because I know he's completely innocent of every charge and we went through the nuts and bolts and slicing and dicing during the trial? No, it's because he was denied a fair trial. Now, we've already known this because of the $27 million settlement that the city of Minneapolis gave to George Floyd's family during jury selection. That's always good timing. We know because the jury was not properly sequestered and was bathed in the tensions of the moment and the threat of their own city being set ablaze if they did not return the approved verdict. And we also know that it was the trial was allowed to happen in Minneapolis, which was insane. This is something a jury 100 or 1,000 miles down the road should have examined. We already know that. The atmosphere for appeal was already thick with merit. But we now know about a juror, Brandon Mitchell, who's now giving interviews telegraphing how completely unfit he was to serve on this jury. Derek Chauvin should be released from prison today. A new trial should be granted tomorrow. We start from scratch in some other city with a sequestered jury and no one on the jury who attended cop-hating Black Lives Matter rallies. Maybe that's something we can pay attention to. They tried. Mr. Mitchell deceived the court in not divulging that he had attended this rally. The definition of burden of proof, the definition of reasonable doubt, the definition of a fair trial lies shattered at the feet of Lady Justice, and this needs fixing. There are a number of things that need fixing today. Are you noticing the continuing swirl around Liz Cheney? This is a flashpoint for conservatives, for Republicans, to figure out what the leadership needs to look like. None of this is personal to me. I like Liz. I've spent years admiring Liz Cheney. Love her dad. Love her mom. But it's when your brain and your heart are et up with Trump hatred that you become an unfit warrior, an inappropriate standard bearer for the battles, the very serious battles that we have ahead. So we'll give you the latest on whether Liz Cheney's days are numbered in House leadership. I pray that they are. There is a wonderful woman out of New York, Elise Stefanik. I've played audio from her a lot, talked about her a lot. She's just great. And that would be an upgrade at that position. And, of course, in the Trump-hating media culture, it's all about loyalty to Trump. It's about fealty. It's about kissing the ring. Liz Cheney dares to speak truth to his legacy, whereas a butt-kisser like Elise Stefanik, that's what we all are, by the way. all of us who actually enjoyed the Trump presidency, all of us who actually thank God he won and for every day of his term and who wish to God we'd gotten a second one, we're not principled conservatives. We're not people who want to make the country better, you know, with things like stronger borders, lower taxes, pro-business environment, America first agenda around the world. Oh, no, no, we're smitten. We are enraptured by the siren song of Trump. It's idol worship. Well, I've had it about up to my eyeballs with this insult. Didn't we show the one Trump-hating guy in that Texas 6 race how profoundly disinterested we were in his grudges? And I got nothing against Michael Wood. Served this country honorably. Oh, the whole party's coming around to where I am. 35-40% of Republicans agree with me. Yeah, the voters seem to have indicated otherwise. So for those of you who were just so repelled by the things that Trump actually did, go be a Democrat. For those of you who were sort of okay with what he did, but just hate that he was mean, then go, you know, go call Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan and try to get them back in positions of significance in the party. The rest of us have a country to save. And just last thing before we pray and move on. Last thing. If we take a look at this moment in history, this moment in our political future, and again, none of it is personal. All of it is about having the chance of winning. And if someone's winning in 22, winning in 24, we've got to win. This Democrat one-party rule is destroying the country as we know it. You can see it in the headlines every day. It is destroying the country as we know it. Our borders stand destroyed. Our fiscal health, which was never that healthy, stands further destroyed. Our economy will be destroyed by environmental extremism. Our Constitution under attack by court packing. Our faith in institutions like law enforcement destroyed with politicians like Joe Biden and megastars like LeBron James. Our sense of logic and fair play, the goodwill that we ask for every day in the prayer I'm about to share with you, destroyed by false cries of racism, the mythology of systemic racism, the poisonous educational gambits of the 1619 Project, anti-racism, and critical race theory. This is war, a battle of ideas. And it's time we got our act together in a hurry, in a hurry. And along those lines, if someone steps forward and says, let's say some, as many candidates may, as some running in 2024 may say, they may say something like, I thoroughly enjoyed President Trump's term, loved it, so glad he won. Moving forward, having been given this boost by him and the wind in our sails, the energy, the conservatism, the spirit of fight, it's time to move forward, continue to fight hard, to fight smart. And maybe the definition of fighting smarter is to fight the battles that he fought with maybe a little bit less of a white knuckle ride, maybe a little bit less of a smorgasbord platter of things handed over to the left that will energize them as much as they energize us. And by the way, you can tell I'm already talking about Ron DeSantis, who may be exactly that. Every bit of Trump fight, every bit of Trump energy, every bit of Trump conservatism, with almost none of the perceived negatives. Now, the first thing DeSantis has to do is be reelected governor next year. Know who's running against him? Know who's going to be in the Democrat primary? This is so awesome. Charlie Crist. He's been a Republican. He's been a Democrat. He's been a refrigerator freezer. He's been a fire truck. He's been a unicorn. It's Charlie Crist just is lining up for another butt kicking at the hands, this time at the hands of Ron DeSantis. And in announcing this week, Charlie Crist said, oh, I want to be a governor for all of Florida. That's what the left always does to our people. By our people, I mean conservatives. Oh, they're those conservatives, and they do what they do. But that's divisive, as if strong borders, fiscal health, standing up for the unborn. That's divisive. I want to be a governor for all the people. That's what Democrats always say. I want to do things for all the people. Do you feel like Joe Biden's doing things for all the people? I'm a conservative Republican of faith. I do not feel that I'm getting things done for me. Oh, no, I do not. Wrecked borders, wrecked national finances, taxes, you know, up to the moon, environmental extremism, court packing, police hatred, mythology of systemic racism. Oh, it's working out great for me. I'm loving every day. But if somebody stepped forward, DeSantis, in response to this, I want to be a governor of all the people. DeSantis said, please run against me. On COVID policy, for example, please run against me. Sticking up for lockdowns. Please run against me. Talking about endless mask wearing. Please run against me. Fawning over everything Dr. Fauci says. Please do that. I so look forward to that debate. And I so look forward to the Florida gubernatorial race where Ron DeSantis will destroy Charlie Crist. If Charlie Crist is even the Democrat nominee. There's buzz in Florida about the Democrat nominee being Florida Congresswoman Val Demings. You remember her from the failed impeachment. She's a neat lady. She is a liberal's liberal. She's a Trump hater, but so is the entire Democrat Party. Nothing particularly noteworthy about that. But you know what she also was? And she was a cop. She was chief of police in Orlando. And that means that Val Demings was a rare Democrat who stepped forward in the Columbus, Ohio case, where we had this girl that was going to stab somebody to death, and the cop, oh, can't have that, stopped her from doing so. And Val Demings said on national television, with the cameras actually on, the officer did what he was trained to do. So this is interesting. That makes her not, you know, a cut and paste kind of cop hating Democrat. Makes her what I think she's going to do. I think she's going to run against Rubio, and I think Rubio is probably safe. But I don't think Val Demings has the slightest interest in, you know, walking around the halls of Tallahassee worrying about state level stuff. So I think it's going to be Ron DeSantis and Charlie Crist for governor of Florida next year, and that is going to be a butt kicking for the ages, and I'm going to love every minute of it. I always love every minute of this because it takes about a minute. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. Be with us as we chart a course out of this COVID nightmare and help us to be smart and safe. Lord, we thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come straight from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many, many blessings in our nation, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Sometimes, in view of sort of the opening rant that I tend to engage in to get the ball rolling, then I do the prayer, and I imagine if sometimes there are things in the prayer that make you think, are you doing that? After what was a good 8 or 9 minutes of fairly aggressive rhetoric, let's return to the moment where I say that we should navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Am I being real positive today? Am I treating others as I would want to be treated? Let's deal with the second one first. I absolutely am. If there is something that I believe in that you think is ruinous to America, I want you to call me and ask me and make me explain it to you, and I will. Am I navigating these troubling times with a positive spirit? Wasn't that a whole lot of negativity? No, I mean, it's, I have negative attitudes toward bad ideas. I have negative attitudes toward insane people. I have negative attitudes toward things that will destroy my country. And then with positivity and an upbeat energy, I seek to make those things better. I seek to make those things better. And that's what I'm trying to do. So when I go after people, please understand every day that it's always okay for folks to come after me. That's why I have this gig. And by come after, I mean accountability. Why do you believe that? Tell me what's good or what's bad about it. So there we are. All right, 7:21. Let's do a call or two here before we hop into the world of Mike Gallagher. Charles, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Wednesday to you, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
Hi, plenty.
Hey, I was listening to you give all these predictions. Ron DeSantis and all these other people maybe running as president on the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I got a bad track record of predicting things. Remember the landslide 2020? Remember all of that that you were spouting every day?
I think that you might...
You need to maybe cool off on your prediction.
I think you might have...
You seem to be wrong a lot.
I think you might have missed the point where my landslide 2020 hashtag was never a prediction that it would happen, but rather a reference
yes,
to things...
No,
well, you're not, Charles, you're not listening to the show. You're not... We both finish sentences, Charles. This is what I mean by lack of goodwill. So if it's complete, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you're not listening to the show enough to have an opinion about that. Now, if you want to get to things, you know, my quote unquote track record on predicting things, I totally did think Trump would win. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And guess what? He may have, but more on that another day. What are the things that I've gotten horribly wrong in your view?
Oh, first of all, you got horribly wrong about these trials.
Huh? What trials?
Derek Chauvin, for one, which is the latest one. Yeah, they're completely wrong.
What?
Derek Chauvin, the Chauvin case, man.
Right. I'm sorry. The question I asked for you, because the opening premise of your call, the opening premise of your call, if you want to talk about something else, we can, and that's fine, because I like having you. Your premise was that my crystal ball, my quote-unquote predictive skill, and any human being is going to have, you know, bad days and bad years, but what are the calls? Well, please give me examples of the things that I have.
I said about the case. The criminal case of
what did I predict about the Chauvin case?
Yes, you did. You say he was going to be acquitted.
What? I did no such thing. I said he should be acquitted.
Yes, you did too, man.
Charles, I got to say something. You're going to call me, start talking about the show. You got to listen to the show. I tell you what, I'm going to require of you. I'm going to require it of you. I love you. You got to listen to the show. There are two things I said.
Then
we got some serious willful deafness going on. I said two things about the. We cannot both talk at the same time. Can't. I'll do my 20 seconds and give the ball right back to you. I said two things during that entire trial. I said he should be acquitted of murder. That maybe there's a case to be made for manslaughter, but I don't trust this jury at all to acquit him because they know their city will burn. And the jury delivered the required verdict, including this Brandon Mitchell guy. You okay with that guy being on the jury, attending BLM rallies? You good with that?
Wait! He's attending a Martin Luther King rally.
No! Not MLK.
No, don't lie.
BLM.
He's attending a Martin Luther King rally.
BLM. George Floyd rally.
A Martin Luther King.
George Floyd rally, Charles.
George Floyd rally featuring
George Floyd's family.
Stop lying to your audience.
Was George Floyd's family not there? Was George Floyd's family not there?
I don't care.
There's a lot you don't care about. But I care about you. Give me a buzz anytime. 7:25, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer. Well, all right. I've got things in my head. Mike Gallagher has things in his head for his upcoming show. We'll put those noggins together next. As soon as we hop through the world of news with Gordon Griffin, here he is on 6:60 a.m. The Answer, 7:32. our second consecutive day of songs that you just couldn't record anymore. We had Sheena Easton's 9 to 5 morning train yesterday. There's Tammy Wynette, Mike, and Stand By Your Man, 1965.
All I can think is Hillary. I'm not some Stand By Your Man
That's
woman.
Right, making cookies. That's right.
No, she's not.
No,
that's not. But that is not as good as I Ain't No's Ways Tired.
That is it.
Remember the speech she gave at the podium?
At the
pulpit?
I do.
And adapted that weird,
that strange, that odd thing. Well, I tell you what, there every once in a while you put somebody up in front of a black crowd and something weird happens to them dialectically. It even happened to Barack Obama. He got blacker in front of a black crowd.
I don't know.
Anyway, before I go further into that rat hole, Tammy Wynette's birthday. Tammy Wynette would have been 79 today, passed away back in 98. So the great Tammy Wynette. So,
all right.
Can I do something really fast off this last gentleman? And I love calls and I love challenging calls, and that's great. Here is the juror. Here is Brandon Mitchell. Yes, it was the MLK big march on the anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. But there he is on a social media photograph wearing a Get Your Knee Off Our Necks t-shirt, a BLM t-shirt, an event at which George Floyd's family was there. It dripped with police hatred. And when asked about these things, here is juror Brandon Mitchell, again, a juror whose one job is to deliver a fair verdict. See if this sounds like somebody interested in weighing the facts and the evidence.
We weren't watching the news, so we don't know what was going on. We were really just locked in on the case. And then with so much stress coming from the case, I mean, those things are so secondary. His legacy is now cemented in history.
His legacy is cemented in history. Okay.
It's now become so much bigger than him as an individual. He's now become almost, he's become a legacy. And it's a legacy that will forever be here, and it's forever going to, it will hopefully create some change within society.
A legacy and change and society. I'm sorry, is this an Al Sharpton speech, or is it what a juror sounds like when being interviewed about the facts of the case and weighing them fairly? Derek Chauvin should be released from prison today. Not found universally completely innocent of all charges, but given the opportunity for a fair trial he did not receive. Who's with me?
Well, that would be horrible to release Derek Chauvin today just because I meet those words with a sense of dread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you some truths to all of this, because first of all, it is a fact that Derek Chauvin was entitled to a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fact that he is entitled to an impartial jury. It's apparently a fact that this juror lied under oath. It isn't just the way he represented himself. He took an oath and told under oath those attorneys and the court that he did not participate in a George Floyd rally. Now, you could say, well, I mean, maybe he's trying to split hairs and say it was a Martin Luther King Jr. rally. But if George Floyd's family is speaking,
he's wearing a T-shirt
mm-hmm. saying, get your knee off of our necks, and an image of George Floyd, that is most definitely, it seems to me, juror misconduct. And Houston, we have a big problem.
Here's the questionnaire. I went looking for the juror questionnaire. It's 16 pages, and there's a lot of stuff on there.
Right.
Number one, on this subject, did you or someone close to you participate in any of the demonstrations or marches against police brutality that took place in Minneapolis after George Floyd's death? If that's a no, okay, I take him at his word. Here's the other one. Other than what you've already described above, have you or anyone close to you participated in protests about police use of force or police brutality? Now, you can dance on the head of a pin all day and say, I'm just at the Dr. King, I Have a Dream anniversary. But when you're festooned with a Get Your Knee Off Our Necks t-shirt, a BLM t-shirt, and, you know, hanging out and hearing the words of George Floyd's grieving family, and you get to go to that rally, of course you do. That's fine. That's part of your rights as an American. But that is absolutely something that places you in a situation where you should have answered truthfully on the juror questionnaire, and that would have bounced him from the jury in a Minneapolis minute.
It sounds like it, but you know, I mean, in a normal time, this would be a grounds for overturning the conviction mm-hmm. and ordering a new trial. There's mm-hmm. nothing normal about any of this. You know, let's look at the actions of the juror, incidentally. He made the decision to go public. He wanted to go on ABC Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go public. This may never get out. I think, so he's...
Well,
he's
I don't know, because it was an uncle who posted the photograph. His uncle, Travis Mitchell, just a very big, happy photograph. And again, other than the trial, there's nothing... It's three really happy-looking guys at the march in D.C., and here is the next generation being socially active, representing in D.C., my son, Marzell, my brother, Maurice Johnson, and my nephew, Brandon Mitchell. And
yeah, but that's there. Only after he went public. I mean, what I'm saying is he made a decision. These jurors were secret. These jurors have been protected. Their identity has been protected unless they opt out of that, unless they choose to go on ABC Good Morning America, right? I mean, the uncle posted the picture after he went on with Robin Roberts, right?
No, the picture was posted right after the march in August of 2020. Yeah. But you still have a point. You have a point.
Yeah, nobody said, this is my nephew, the juror on the Derek Chauvin case.
We would not know who Brandon Mitchell was had he not identified himself as a juror.
Correct. And so that goes into it as well. But again, I have nothing but a sense of dread over this, Mark, and let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. There are millions and millions and millions of people all over the world who took a gut punch over George Floyd's death. Mm-hmm. And we should never minimize what that act did to the country and to the world. This became a worldwide movement.
Right.
And I'm not going to relitigate it and go into George Floyd's history and all that.
Right.
That cop's knee on that man's neck for 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes, as it turned out, created anguish.
Mm-hmm.
And I try so hard. I'm the whitest guy in the world. I have no idea what it's like to spend a day in a black man's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. But I try real hard to appreciate and recognize the tears, the pain, the horror that videotape moment caused.
Well,
now, do I think that's the way most police encounters go? Absolutely not. Do I believe 99% of cops are good and honorable and decent,
mm-hmm,
and brave? You better believe it. But the pain, Mark, if Derek Chauvin gets released, as you're calling for,
yep,
and I get it, if this thing gets all up unended, you know what we're going to go through again as a country? You recognize how much pain that's going to cause?
So the alternative is we let an unfit juror just go, and we let an unfair trial just go.
Nope.
Because we're concerned about people's pain and anguish, and we're concerned about rioting.
No, I'm not trying, but don't minimize that. I mean, that's
not at all. I don't.
I'm with you. I'm not. You're right. He's entitled to a fair.
That's right.
And again, that questionnaire you found, and I heard this last night from a guest we're going to try to get on the show today. I love this prosecutor who's always on with Tucker, a Francie. Forget her last name, Hawks, or something.
The red-haired lady. Yeah,
she's so sharp.
Hakes, H-A-K-E-S.
Francie Hakes. Yeah, so we're going to try to get her. But she said last night that questionnaire is under oath. He lied under oath. Mm-hmm. He didn't just deceive. He lied under oath. That is. In fact, she said there are sanctions against somebody who does that. He could be penalized and face prosecution.
And you know what the questionnaire also had? Let's not trip over this. He can say, listen, I wasn't really technically at a BLM rally. Blah, blah, blah. He said, have you or anyone close to you been to something like this, a BLM thing, a police violence thing? So nobody, and listen, God bless them. They get to go to Washington. They get to wear BLM t-shirts. That's fine. You're going to tell me that nobody in his circle of close associates was in Minneapolis protesting anything? Okay.
The trial was all about a police officer's knee on somebody's neck for 9.5 minutes. If you've got a T-shirt on at a rally, say, get your knee off our neck, again,
that's a problem. I think he's plugged in, so all right.
I think there's an issue here. Now, let me go to a political point that you raised earlier today about Liz. I love this debate about Liz Cheney,
mm-hmm,
and what it means, what it represents, because I got a funny feeling here. I've got a queasy feeling that she might survive. I could be wrong.
The establishment always has a card up its sleeve. Absolutely.
You better believe they do. And your Kevin McCarthy and the rest of them are kind of up against that machine. But I want to make a point about, because they're all watching this because they're saying this is what today's Republican Party is going to look like. And your monologue this morning about the fealty to Trump and how we're portrayed as just blindly following him.
That's it.
Little known fact about Elise Stefanik, who is mentioned as Liz Cheney's successor in the Republican leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Cheney voted in line with Donald Trump 92.9% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Elise Stefanik, according to Byron York, voted in line with Trump 77.7% of the time.
You know why?
So here's why.
The numbers matter. Early on, her ascendancy, her first election there in New York, was as a kind of a New York Republican kind of center-right. Trump right. made her more conservative. Trump turned her into a stronger conservative.
I look at those numbers as a defense of the charge, the scurrilous smear that we're all just blindly with toadies and we've got to be 100% with Trump. At least Stefanik, whatever her evolution, has not been 100%
exactly
with Trump.
Right.
So be it.
And I'm tired of people giving me Liz Cheney's conservative past. The moment she decided to jump into the cauldron of Trump hatred, we're done. That's it. Goodbye. You are no longer a fit. That is a decision she made, and decisions have consequences.
And speaking of Byron York, he raises a great question in his column. What's Liz Cheney's endgame? What's she trying to do here, Mark?
I tell you what, if you know what it might be, I swear to God, I've just seen it with this Michael Wood in this Texas 06. These Trump haters think that half the party is coming their way. God, how many times do we have to hit them in the head with a brick at the ballot box to show them that it's not true? She may be running for president. That may be it. She may be running for president.
There's another agenda here with her, because she doesn't need to do this, and she's not telling the truth. There's nothing. Nobody's going around asking you, hey, tell us more about Trump.
No.
You know, I mean, but she's doing this, there is an end game. And finally, final question this morning.
Yes.
Will you tell me why in God's name this miserable human being, this despicable, disgusting, racist woman who was pulled over by the cop, mm-hmm. as exposed by the Bill Malugan, this new Fox News reporter out of L.A., mm-hmm. why has she not been identified yet?
Honestly, because I looked, she's blurred out on the video. I asked toward the end of yesterday's show, is she black? And it turns out she is. Now, why does this matter? Inherently, things like that don't matter at all. But she was, so you're just a Mexican racist, calling the LAPD.
You're always going to be a Mexican.
You'll never be white. All you want to be is white.
You're a murderer.
I said, this sounds like an odd gripe from somebody of another minority looking at somebody of another minority and saying, you know, we should be together against the white man and you'll never be white, et cetera, et cetera. And you're a Mexican racist. Now, your question is perfect. 30 seconds. She's being protected because she's part of a protected class. White racists get dragged. Their addresses wind up online.
I'm looking at the story right now. A 35-year-old California woman is reportedly facing hate crime charges after allegedly harassing black Amazon delivery driver.
Bill Malugan, a wonderful
Julie Warland is accused, blah, blah, blah. So they identify somebody who is despicable towards an Amazon delivery driver, a white woman, but a black woman who's a racist towards a Hispanic cop.
And
she's not. No, I don't believe Fox News is protecting her. There's something more.
Malugan said, we know who she is, but we're not identifying her because we haven't spoken to her. Who gives a rip if you've spoken to her?
There's something else going on here, Mark. There's got to be another
30 extra seconds. What do you think's going on? I honestly don't know,
but it can't be that we can't reach her. That can't be it. And incidentally, you can find out who she is. I found out who she is in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
There's something called the internet, and she's out there. She is a professor, an English professor. She has about 3 different names she goes by. She's on social media. And if this is the same woman, and I have no reason to think it's not, and incidentally, it all fits. She's anti-cop.
Yep.
She's anti-white.
She is legendary in making troublemaking complaints about police.
Oh, you ought to read about this.
They know her at headquarters.
But why this isn't in the New York Post or the Washington Examiner, or there's got to be more to this story, but hopefully we'll find out, because guess what?
Day.
She shouldn't be teaching a Cocker Spaniel. Nasty
Mike Gallagher,
woman.
Everybody.
Ooh, fires me up.
All right, love you. We're ready.
Love
Mike,
you too.
Today at 10 on 660 AM, The Answer. All righty, let's cruise out of this hour and into the next. 866-660-5759. So, yesterday, toward the end of the show, we played the 2.5 minute campaign ad from Caitlyn Jenner. I confess to an odd fascination with this, and it's not I mean, some of it, well, some of it is, you know, reality show train wreck appeal, I guess. But Caitlyn Jenner would be a better governor of California any day than Gavin Newsom. If Caitlyn Jenner is the best, is the strongest Republican alternative, okay. I mean, my preference might be for somebody who is aware of what gender he is. But if Caitlyn Jenner's right on a bunch of other issues, it's worth a look. And so a lot of people have said, yeah, but is that Caitlyn Jenner conservatism? Is that real? Is it phony? Is it opportunistic? Well, guess what? Caitlyn Jenner will be on Hannity tonight. So we'll you can watch that, and I'll have audio from it tomorrow, and we'll see what we think. What I think right now is got to scoot out and start the next hour. 8 o'clock, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.